copy of it and get started. The new year will be started with reading the Bible daily. I'd like to provide a copy and be glad to get that to you. Also, with regard to Mark Roberts' schedule, you can pick it up at download.justchristians.com, or Paul said that he's going to make copies of them and have them here by Wednesday. So we'll try to have those if you'd like to follow that schedule and use your own personal Bible. Also, I'm kind of thinking ahead. I don't know. I may change my mind, but I think in February, I'm going to have sometime early this spring, winter and spring, I'm going to have five lessons. I'm going to wait till the college kids get back. Five top questions asked on college campuses. We're going to be talking about those. You'd be surprised what they are. And anyway, they will all be good lessons for Christians to hear, or non-Christians to hear. Five top questions asked on college campuses, and I think I'm going to start that the 1st of February. Also, the last weekend of February, we'll be having a meeting. Tim Jennings is going to be with us here for a weekend series, and kind of looking ahead to the new year, kind of making plans. In the book of Proverbs, the 19th chapter and verse 22, Solomon says, "What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." Solomon recognized then the virtue of kindness. And I think we would all agree that in any cultured society, we all would recognize its value. And anyone that has that virtue or characteristic is always applauded. I realize that by and large, that unfortunately, there are many that would reject that and say, no, the brutal and insensitive are those who are truly valuable. But most of the time, we would recognize the value of kindness. The Greek word Christotis basically means, which is translated kind, basically means that which is useful or effective. In fact, in the Septuagint version, the word kindness was even used with regard to something that was precious, like a precious stone or fine gold. But it was also used with regard to the value of character, something that is of great ethical value, such as someone who is honest, or someone who is friendly, or someone who is loving, or someone who is good, or someone who is generous or compassionate, or someone who is benevolent. We would all agree that kindness is certainly the opposite of someone who is harsh and brutal and hurtful and rude. A mother was in her home one time, and her two little daughters were in a scuffle in the midst of a fight, and she broke it up. And she got the two girls and she said, "Now we must learn how to be kind." And one little girl said, "Mom, define that. What do you mean by that?" And so she gave a definition. And the little girl looked up at Mom and said, "Do we know anybody like that?" Unfortunately, many homes are lacking in this very extremely important virtue that God calls upon His people to have. First of all, what is the motivation of kindness? You know, certainly the world will not give us any motivation, for by and large, the world follows a Darwinian view of might makes right. I mean, and that's everywhere you go. Whether you're in corporate America, or in a school, or you're simply in the line at Walmart, or you're on the highway, we live, unfortunately, in a very ruthless society and among extremely impatient people. So how do you learn how to be kind? Well, you first of all learn it from God. Because every good trait that is found in human beings was first found in God. We are made in the image of God according to Genesis chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, John says, "We love Him because He first loved us." The very love of God is probably the all-encompassing view of the kindness of God. But in the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, I want you to notice a statement that was made by Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 and 36. In Luke 6 and verses 35 and 36, Jesus said, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, for your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil." Another version of the Sermon on the Mount, "He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust." Certainly we would find this great virtue in our Father. And this ought to be the motive for me to learn how to be kind, because our Heavenly Father is kind. Consider with me some characteristics, or consider with me with regard to this heavenly kindness and the kindness of God. For example, a couple of Psalms. Psalm 106 and verse 1. Psalm 106 and verse 1, where the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Or Psalm 100, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His court with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Why? Because God is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Over in the book of Titus, go back over there where we were this morning, and we find the kindness of God mentioned. And it's interesting that when Paul was writing to Titus, who was working with the Cretans, in the first chapter he makes this observation about the common character of Cretans. He says they're always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. And in the third chapter, he reminds them of their former conduct in verse 3. He says, "You were once foolish, you were once disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." This was the character, common character of the Cretans. But notice verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, there was a change in your life." The very kindness of God became the motivation for these people who had been known as being brutes to become a kind-hearted people. In the book of Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 7, in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul says that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God demonstrated His kindness toward us in the death of His Son. A couple of applications in the Roman letter. Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul says, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness or the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" This is what I ought to do. The kindness of God should bring me to want to change my life, to repentance. Then in the 11th chapter of the same book, 11th chapter and verse 22, we find a contrast. Paul says, "Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off." The contrast here between two traits of God, that is the kindness and severity of God. He is warning the Gentiles that if you become haughty, then God will do the same thing that He did with the Jews. That is, He is going to cut you off. And therefore, He says, not only do you need to consider the kindness of God, but you need to continue in His kindness. I guess an equivalent to that would be you need to continue in the faith. You need to keep the faith. You need to keep trying to obey God and doing what He says. So we see certainly in the New Testament this heavenly kindness in the character of the Father. But we also see it in the Lord Himself. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, one of the most inspiring passages in the New Testament is the simple invitation that is made in Matthew, the 11th chapter, in verse 28. Here we find that Jesus had been working among the various cities of Galilee, and unfortunately many of them had rejected Him and rejected His miracles. But Jesus nonetheless said, "Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light." The word easy is the Greek word Christotis, kindness. Jesus said, "My yoke is kind. My yoke is pleasant." The whole point is that it's much more pleasant to be under the yoke of Christ than it is to be under the yoke of sin. Now, people don't believe that. Some people believe that the path to real freedom is lawlessness. No, that's the path to slavery. The path to real freedom is to be under the yoke of Jesus. He said, "My yoke is easy." You don't believe it? Try it. Just see what happens. He says, "My yoke is easy and My burden is light." The kindness of Jesus was seen in His disposition toward a woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8. We remember the simple message of Jesus in John chapter 8 to this woman taken in adultery. John chapter 8 and verse 11. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Or in the 26th chapter of Matthew. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The betrayer is at hand. He is about to be led, unfortunately, to His death. But in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 49, it says that immediately that Judas went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed Him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend." What a statement. "Friend, why have you come?" And then He came and laid hands on Jesus and took Him. "Friend, why have you come?" You know how many times Jesus would have forgiven Judas? 70 times 7. That's how many times Jesus would have forgiven Judas. Therefore, even in the hour of distress, Jesus had not forgotten the virtue of kindness. You know, we find a number of admonitions in the New Testament to kindness. For example, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, we find Paul's 16-fold description of love. And in the 13th chapter, he says in verse 4, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Love, he says, is kind. In the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, we find the works of the flesh are mentioned in verses 19 through 21 and in verse 22 beginning. But he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, if I intend to be all that God wants me to be, then I need to do what some church members have never learned how to do. I need to learn how to be kind. I need to see and understand the importance of having this trait and characteristic. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, Paul is referring to his own ministry. Now here was a fellow who was known for his zeal, often known for his straightforward preaching. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, well, beginning with verse 4, Paul says, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love." As kindness is even to be the disposition of the preacher. Now, Jamie and I were kidding each other, and we were talking about 2 o'clock, and I said, well, you know, we were talking about getting a nap, and I told him, I'm not going to get a nap this afternoon. Like some of you guys will get a nap at 2 o'clock. And I said, maybe what I need to do is bang on the pulpit. And he was telling me about a lesson that he did, you know, where he had that in just for a purpose. I can remember in my younger days being so impatient with people that I hate to say it, that I banged and my attitude wasn't always right. The disposition of the preacher is firmness, truthfulness, but kindness. Preaching the truth in love is, I think, our goal. I think we already readily recognize then the need for kindness, don't we? First of all, we find the need for kindness in our society. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbors and love your enemies. We see that in the store line. We find it on the highway. We find it in the schools, the need for kindness. It's interesting what the early saints did. According to a Roman ruler by the name of Julian, this was his observation about the character of New Testament Christians. This is what he said. As children we are coaxed with cake, so have these Christians enticed the poor to join them by kindness. Strangers they have secured by hospitality, by affecting brotherly love, great moral purity, and honoring their dead, they have won the multitude. In an extremely immoral society such as the Roman Empire, New Testament Christians were known by the virtue of kindness and commended for it. We need kindness in the home. Unfortunately, husbands and wives have learned to be somewhat brutal, wounding each other with words, a war of words, a deadly weapon that sometimes wounds the soul. In our society, many treat children like street dogs, literally. I remember Nancy mentoring a young man whose home life after school, I'm talking about grade school, was to go home to a locked house and wait on the porch until mom and dad got home. Child abuse is an all-time epidemic in our society. And there's the mistreatment of the aged, the older folks, the elderly. We need to have kindness in the home. And it's kind of like the little saying that goes when you get married. It was, and if I can remember this right, that two were dating, and she trips, and he says, "Careful, sweet." But now married, the two people walk down the self-same street, and she trips, And he says, pick up your feet. You see, there's a difference. You know, in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, we have commendation of the worthy woman. In Proverbs 31, this passage reminds me of my three favorite women. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my wife. But in Proverbs 31 in verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Her worth, that is, that she is capable and efficient. She is extremely valuable. But notice a few verses in that reading. First of all, verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. This worthy woman was known for her kind deeds and her law of kindness that ruled the household. If we had more kindness in the home, we'd have fewer divorces. And I'll make any excuses and say, well, I just can't do it. No, you can. You can change. You can be different. You can learn how to be kind. We need kindness in the church and among God's people. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Learn how to treat your brother with kindness. Learn to become kind, which means to actively pursue and diligently pursue that attitude. I know you've been around long enough, you've probably been like me. You go to a church and there are no elders and you have a business meeting, and the business meeting is like a war zone. And everybody's just, you know, got the gun cocked and ready for war, ready for the battle. And all too often, over nothing more than just my opinion. And oftentimes, George's opinion isn't worth much. Well, it may be valuable, but the reality is that my brother's opinion is worth as much as mine in matters of judgment. We need to learn how to have the attitude of kindness among brethren. Which means that elders need to learn how to be kind. They need to treat the flock with kindness. Look over in the book of Titus again, this time the first chapter, when the Apostle Paul brings about refers to the qualifications of the elders. Just look beginning in verse 7 at some of the qualities here that relate in some way to kindness. First of all, he says, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not violent. Verse 8, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, self-controlled. All of those characteristics in some way relate to the virtue of kindness. Some preachers believe that if I'm kind, that somehow because of kindness I've compromised the truth. To the contrary. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, or verse 24, He says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Where do we get the idea that if I become agreeable to listen to the other fellow's perspective, that somehow I compromise the truth? I don't know where we got that idea. We didn't get it from the Bible. Paul says, Timothy, you mustn't be quarrelsome, you must be gentle, and you must be patient. Those are virtues that somehow are linked to kindness. I think we would all readily agree that the kindest person that ever lived on the face of the earth was Jesus. And in the last few chapters of Matthew, we find Jesus in the city of Jerusalem dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees in a very firm fashion. But in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and in verse 37, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you were not willing. I would have had you, but you wouldn't have me. Jesus cried over the city of Jerusalem and her immorality and the fact that she had turned her back upon the people, had turned their backs upon God. Firm, yes, we need to be. Vicious, no. We don't need to be vicious. So we need to strive, then, as God's people, to learn how to have this important virtue of kindness. I'll remind you again of the passage in Titus, where Titus tells the people that this became the life-changing motive. That when the kindness of God appeared, Paul said, to these Cretans who were known for being brutal, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward men, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's someone here today who acknowledges and recognizes the value of God's mercy and kindness. Maybe it's become your motivation to change and to allow God to change your life into the kind of person that God wants you to be. And if we can assist you in that and helping you to get your life right with Him, we would welcome that, and we would help you at this time if you would come as we stand and sing the songs of life.